It's Thursday, August 8th. This is The Gateway. I'm Brian Moline. The unrest that engulfed Ferguson and other North St. Louis County cities 10 years ago damaged or even destroyed dozens of businesses in those areas.
We had to fight and get new tenants and replace those businesses, and we did that. But, you know, it takes time.
Efforts to redevelop and recover have been up and down in the 10 years since. Just ahead, we examine what has returned, what's new, and what still needs to come. St. Louis area community members gathered last night at an event hosted by St. Louis Public Radio and NPR to share their thoughts on what has changed in Ferguson and the country since then. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports.
Panelists and community members at last night's event reflected on the past decade since Michael Brown's death and addressed the need for change when it comes to police violence. Brittany Packnett Cunningham is an activist and was a panelist at the event. She says the events of August 9, 2014 changed the way the country addresses police violence against Black people.
The movement that we saw globally in 2020 in the name of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others would not have happened in the way that it did if it were not for the 400 plus days of the Ferguson uprising.
Cunningham says even though Michael Brown's death brought needed reform in law enforcement, such as body cameras, more accountability still needs to be placed on police officers. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's Democratic and Republican candidates for governor are preparing for a general election campaign where abortion rights could take center stage. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how Republican Mike Kehoe and Democrat Crystal Quaid are gearing up for the November showdown.
Kehoe and Quaid won their respective primaries on Tuesday, defeating well-funded opponents to advance to the November general election. And it's likely that a ballot item legalizing abortion will also be on the ballot with the governor's race. Quaid says the prospect of undoing Missouri's abortion ban could boost Democratic turnout, but Kehoe says he also expects voters who oppose abortion rights to turn out as well.
And we will do everything we can to make sure Missourians understand how important it is to protect innocent life, come out and defeat that amendment should it make it to the ballot, which I think we all assume it will.
Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft will likely announce whether the abortion ballot item got enough signatures later this month. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Madison County Transit is starting a new ride-sharing service in Collinsville on Monday. Similar to Uber or Lyft, this new pilot program will get customers in and around most of Collinsville. This service, called MCT Micro, will cost $1, and customers will share rides in a shuttle headed in the same direction. Collinsville City Manager Derek Jackson says this new service will be a nice complement to an existing shuttle service for the disabled and senior citizens.
We don't see this being a competitor. We see this as being another option. And if anything, it might, you know, if there is congestion on one, hopefully this frees up and makes it kind of a quicker process for being dropped off and picked up by having additional options.
If successful, the transit service would like to expand the new ride-sharing program to other parts of the Metro East County. James Robinson, longtime artistic director of the Opera Theater of St. Louis, is leaving for a new job leading Seattle Opera. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, Robinson will move on after 16 years at Opera Theater.
During his tenure, the company commissioned 11 world premieres and launched a program that developed new work by artists of color. Robinson says he's particularly proud of all that brand new opera.
Some of the things that I'm most proud of course, were the creation of the operas by Terrence Blanchard that went on to the Metropolitan Opera and became so historically significant.
Blanchard's Fire Shut Up in My Bones went on from its premiere in St. Louis to become the first opera by a Black composer ever performed in New York at the Met. Robinson also has a deep resume as a stage director. A recording of his production of Porgy and Bess at the Met won a Grammy in 2021. Robinson starts in Seattle next month. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a trio of bills designed to protect access to reproductive health care in Illinois. One measure guarantees the right to life-saving care, including abortions, even if federal protections get rolled back. Another doesn't allow state or local agencies to share any information with another state that wants to prosecute someone for coming to Illinois for an abortion or gender-affirming care. Pritzker says measures like these are important post-Roe.
These laws were crafted to shield Illinoisans from future attacks by the U.S. Supreme Court and other bad actors who will attempt to impose their backward ideology on the rest of us.
The third new law guarantees people can't be discriminated against in housing, employment, or public accommodations because they've had an abortion, IVF treatments, and more. Police yesterday arrested St. Louis rapper Nelly and charged him with possession of a controlled substance and not having insurance. According to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, officers from the department's gaming division at the Hollywood Casino arrested Nelly around 4:45 a.m. Maryland Heights police then took him into custody. Officers also found four ecstasy pills in his possession. A Maryland Heights Police Department spokeswoman says the department arrested him for failing to appear on a traffic charge. Nelly, whose real name is Cornell Haynes, has since been released. Ten years ago, protests erupted on the streets of Ferguson and surrounding cities after a white police officer killed 18-year-old Michael Brown Jr. When some of that unrest turned violent, local businesses along those thoroughfares also suffered. Some were vandalized, broken into, or even burned down. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports the area has seen economic recovery and development since, but it hasn't been entirely even.
A steady clip of cars zip along West Florissant Avenue. It's one of the busiest corridors in North St. Louis County, seeing tens of thousands of vehicles every day. Back in 2014, it was also one of the main places where community members protested in response to Michael Brown's death. Delwood Mayor Reggie Jones remembers how the unrest in the area also turned destructive. He's been the mayor of the city of roughly 5,000 that's right next to Ferguson since 2013.
I can remember coming home at night and just seeing devastation to places that once were thriving businesses and thriving gathering places, and to literally sit there and watch some of them just go up in flames.
Jones says many people, including those in the media, confused Delwood for Ferguson, and he says his community saw 13 businesses burn to the ground, more than Ferguson. Jones says only one of those returned, an O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Everyone else we had to fight and get new tenants and replace those businesses, and we did that. But, you know, it takes time. Even though things happen basically overnight, it takes years to recover from that.
Today, Jones says there's only one of those business sites that doesn't have a development plan yet. Otherwise, he points out the Urban League's new 42-unit senior living facility that opened this year, and the organization's plan to build a business plaza right across from it on the other side of West Florissant. Other plazas along this stretch have been rebuilt with new tenants, and other ones that were long vacant have been filled in, but it's still a work in progress.
Hello.
How are you? Good, how are you? Udowu Ajibola owns African Depot, a small grocery and retail store tucked behind an auto shop along West Florissant.
We are still recovering.
Ajibola has been in this space since 2006 and also ran the pharmacy next door before selling it a few years ago. He says his customers have come to rely on him for African products that aren't available at every grocery store. And he says he is seeing more traffic to his store, but there could be more around him.
We need some more business family places, grocery stores around here and shopping areas.
There is an example of this on South Florissant Road in Ferguson. That's where Tony Davis owns Pop Pop Hooray, a popcorn and ice cream shop that's surrounded by about a dozen other Black-owned small businesses.
A real concentration of Black-owned business in such a small area. I don't know of any other place like that in St. Louis.
His storefront had been a Quiznos location before, but Davis says the shop moved out in 2020 after it was vandalized in the unrest following George Floyd's murder.
I remember what it was like taking over that space when it was covered in glass. I remember how happy people was that it was something, not a fish and chicken spot, that was, you know, bright, vibrant, kid-friendly, and something that was opening in a time where everything was closing.
Since then, Davis has opened another Pop Pop Hooray location in St. Charles, but he says the Ferguson store remains special because of the community support he received. He says it was important to him to bring something to the community that he knew wasn't there before.
I'm a family man. I got three kids. I wanted something like that I was building. So I was building it, but I also knew that it didn't exist because it didn't exist for us.
This is something Beverly Jenkins has noticed more broadly among people in different North St. Louis County communities over the past 10 years.
What I'm seeing is that whatever they feel like is missing, they've decided to create it. And I think that's beautiful.
Jenkins and her husband, both pastors in the area, did the same thing with Refuge and Restoration. Jenkins is the CEO of the nonprofit, which runs the R&R Marketplace. It's a redeveloped Delwood strip mall that now hosts a collection of services aimed at boosting economic access and mobility in the area. Resources like childcare, banking, addiction recovery and treatment, a co-working space, or employment training.
And these were the opportunities that we felt like were missing, spaces that our community was traveling to or utilizing in other neighborhoods or other communities, but was not accessible in their own.
But she says it was a challenge to secure the roughly $20 million they needed for the 90,000 square foot redevelopment, which opened last year. Jenkins says the idea for what she and her husband wanted to build here came to them before all the protests and unrest.
We had all these plans, and it took us these many years because, and I just want to be frank, there's just not a lot of private equity investment in communities that people forget about.
She says it reflects the strategic economic disinvestment that happened for decades before 2014, and not just for the city or immediate area around where Michael Brown lived.
Ferguson was highlighted. Ferguson is not the only that needs the additional support.
Jessica Carter is the site director of the North County Community Nexus, about 5 miles from Ferguson. It's the forthcoming redevelopment of the old Hathaway Hills Shopping Center on the border of Jennings and Bell Fountain neighbors. The nearly $10 million project by the nonprofit A Red Circle is still in its early stages, but Carter shows off the garden that's already producing cucumbers, collard greens, watermelon, and other plants.
The neighbors, they love it. You know, it's not for us at all, it's for the community.
Healthy foods are a cornerstone of this project. Inside the old shopping center, Carter says about 10,000 square feet will be transformed into a grocery store.
And actually provide volume, high quality, local produce and products from the area as we work with the farmers that are out here currently and whatever other entities want to actually help take us out of a food desert.
She says there are also plans for a commercial kitchen, a demonstration kitchen, a small business incubator, and spaces entrepreneurs can lease. Carter says the services that will eventually be housed in this development reflect what the community members living around it want to see. And she says they deserve as much access to the resources here as any other part of North County.
Mike Brown wasn't confined to one city. It happens all over the North County area. This was that moment in time that the world really stopped to pay attention, and that's the imprint that was left.
Carter says no one organization can shoulder the entire responsibility to meet all of what North County communities need. She says there are many involved in this work, and they all deserve support. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Brian Moldine, in for Abby Larico.